From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Tuesday, May 26th. Today on the podcast, immigrant workers on Vermont dairy farms can't access the aid programs designed to keep people afloat during the pandemic.
I don't say this to offend anybody, but we're continuing to work in spite of everything that's happening. So what the government needs to do is to include us.
First, here are today's headlines.
The health department recorded 4 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. In total, Vermont has had 962 confirmed cases of the disease and 54 people have died. 843 people have recovered and 2 are currently hospitalized.
Tonight, the Brattleboro Select Board is scheduled to hold a special meeting to discuss its new rule that requires everyone in town to wear masks in all commercial and nonprofit buildings. The board adopted the measure quickly last week in an emergency session, and the public never got a chance to weigh in. Mask requirements have been a bit controversial in Vermont. Retail employees have to wear masks, but Governor Phil Scott refused to require retail customers to wear them. Still, communities like Burlington and South Burlington, among others, have joined Brattleboro in passing their own rules.
So, Vermont's dairy industry has been hit particularly hard by the coronavirus pandemic. And a sudden drop in milk prices due to COVID-19 has forced some farmers to scale back operations or to close down altogether. And that's meant a loss of jobs, income, and even housing for the immigrant workers that keep those dairy farms running. But they've been excluded from the state and federal aid programs created to help struggling workers. Reporter Peter Hirschfeld has more.
It's a little before 6 in the evening at a dairy farm in central Vermont. But before Uriel can begin his 12-hour night shift in the milking parlor, he needs to make a stop at an old wooden shed that now serves as a makeshift temperature check station.
So this is, you come in here before every shift to get the temperature check?
Antes de cada turno, llegas aquí, y toman la temperatura.
Sí, aquí este...
Uriel is among the estimated 1,000 to 1,500 immigrant farm workers on the front lines of Vermont's dairy industry, and so far at least, his job's been secure. But during a conversation inside the tiny cedar-shingled cottage he shares with a roommate, Uriel says other immigrant workers in the state haven't been so lucky.
Sí. Escuchado por parte de primos y por parte de amigos.
Yeah, I've heard from my cousins and my friends. In fact, a cousin called me and asked if there was any work here because the farm he was on had closed down because they were dumping milk and the owner had decided he didn't want to keep farming.
More than 90,000 Vermonters have filed for unemployment since COVID-19 arrived in the state, and the state and federal government have taken extraordinary measures to replace their lost incomes. But workers like Uriel, because of their citizenship status, aren't eligible for the stimulus checks, unemployment payments, or pandemic unemployment assistance that have helped other newly jobless Vermonters stay afloat.
And we've seen they've created a fund for the community, but unfortunately we've been excluded from that fund. And one of the things we're doing in our organization is fighting for that aid to come to us, too.
That organization Uriel's referring to is called Migrant Justice. Will Lambeck is a spokesperson for the group.
Workers who the country is admitting are necessary to keep our food chains going, to make sure that we have stock shelves in the supermarket, are being left out of government responses to this crisis.
According to the Agency of Agriculture, 7 Vermont dairy farms have ceased operations since March, and the agency knows of 5 migrant workers that have been displaced as a result. Migrant Justice is asking lawmakers and the Scott administration to cut $1,200 stimulus checks not only to immigrant farm workers, but any Vermonter who's been excluded from the program by virtue of citizenship status. That includes U.S. citizens who are married to or children of non-U.S. citizens. Lambeck says it's a matter of fairness.
And also issue a clear statement of values that as our state responds to this unprecedented crisis, our response will include everyone.
Some lawmakers say they want to ensure that it does. Addison County Senator Ruth Hardy says the Senate Agriculture Committee is trying to figure out a way to get $500 payments to every migrant farm worker in Vermont. It's not the $1,200 Migrant Justice is calling for, and it would only help farm workers, not the other Vermonters whose citizenship status has impeded their access to government aid. Hardy, though, says a projected shortfall in next year's general fund means resources are already stretched thin.
I feel like it's at least, you know, a bit of a recognition, a bit of a sort of thank you for your work, and hopefully helps these farm workers to make ends meet and also support their own families, whether their families are here in Vermont or in their home countries.
Federal regulations prohibit the state from using coronavirus relief funds to provide direct support to non-citizens. Last month, California became the first state to create an aid program for immigrant workers. They use nonprofits as fiscal intermediaries to funnel the money to workers. Hardy says her committee is considering a similar approach.
So we're trying to be creative in how we can provide relief, provide some kind of benefit to these farm workers. And so we're still working out the details.
Governor Phil Scott recently unveiled a $40 million aid package for struggling farms. It does not include any money for farm workers whose incomes have been affected by the downturn in the industry. Scott hasn't taken a position on the Senate legislation. At least one of his cabinet members, however, will be advocating on behalf of immigrant workers. Susanna Davis is Scott's director of racial equity.
Speaking only for myself as a person whose focus is racial equity, I think that a fund like that is really the least that we can do for a population that's so incredibly vulnerable and that is a part of our communities. It's up to the state to prove it when we say that these folks are, quote, essential.
Hola. Hola. Hi. Catherine.
Hey. Very nice.
Dice bonita tu casa.
Thank you.
And you're Marisa?
I'm Marita. Yeah.
Marita.
It's Olga. How are
Olga,
you doing?
Good to meet you, Olga.
Olga has been working and living on a dairy farm in the northern third of the state for the past 2 years. She says she's been fortunate to keep her job as a milker here, but she says friends at other farms are hurting.
Pues, yo sé de algunos pues que como...
Some are leaving the state, which is problematic. Others are waiting to see if something is going to change, if they can find another job, just waiting to see if people are going to get any benefits or anything.
Olga says many immigrant farm workers are making new lives in Vermont and that they serve important roles in an important industry. They may not be U.S. citizens, Olga says, but they are Vermonters.
More than anything else, they need to recognize that we immigrants are a really important part of this country. I don't say this to offend anybody, but we're continuing to work in spite of everything that's happening. So what the government needs to do is to include us. If, for example, they create a benefit for people who are from here, Americans, they should include us too.
Lawmakers and the governor will decide in the coming weeks what kind of consideration workers like Olga and Uriel deserve. For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
So, Anna, in a normal year, Vermont's craft breweries would be gearing up for a whole bunch of summer visitors looking to try some of the state's celebrated beers, like hazy IPAs or sour ales, all kinds of varieties. But there's a lot of uncertainty right now for craft breweries, just as there is for every industry that relies on in-person interaction. So, for one perspective on how the fallout from COVID-19 is impacting the craft beer industry in Vermont right now, I called up Matt Nadeau. He's the owner of Rock Art Brewery in Morrisville.
Hey, thank you, Henry, for giving me a call and checking in to see how we're doing.
Yeah, well, so what happened to your business after the COVID-19 restrictions went into place? Did you take a hit?
Oh, goodness, yeah. I guess probably be easier to say what didn't happen.
Yeah,
like everyone in our industry and a lot of folks in other industries, you know, almost a complete shutdown. Sales dropped about 60-70%. You know, we're hearing that, you know, beer is still selling in the stores and the liquor sales are good, but the beer that's selling is more of the national brand stuff that's in a value package. You know, craft beer, I think, has really taken a pretty big hit, at least talking to a lot of my buddies in the industry with their breweries are all seem to be in a similar situation.
Yeah. And so before this, what did your business model look like? Who were you selling to mostly?
We sell a lot to Vermonters and then, of course, tourists. You know, we're primarily a tourist state, it seems, and we rely heavily on tourists. They come in and they take beers home. They come to the tasting bar. They try our beers. They bring it home. We've been at this over 20 years now, helping to build this industry, getting it to where it's at. And it just it changed for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
The model is I don't know what the model is right now, actually. Survival, yeah. I guess.
Well, in terms of that, have you been able to, I mean, have you been able to keep your employees on and keep some things running?
Yeah, you know, we are very fortunate that, you know, we're in a number of the stores that people are going to. So we are selling some beer, obviously. We're getting it out. We're keeping our employees going. We were able to get a PPP loan. You know, it's a definite nice little Band-Aid. It just falls short of what's really needed.
When this hit, did you have things that you were brewing that you were expecting to be, you know, getting out to people in a larger volume in the spring or the summer?
Sure, yeah. It was a classic. We had a brand new delicious IPA coming out, a nice 5% version in a 12-ounce can. We literally had packaged it maybe days before the executive orders came down, shutting things off. So timing on that one couldn't have been worse. So now we have to destroy those beers because they're out of code. And, you know, to add insult to injury, we have to, you know, pay to ship those down to a company and then pay to have it destroyed. And so you're losing the beer and all the packaging materials. And we've got probably, I'm guessing, 1,500 gallons worth that we have to destroy at this point.
Well, so how are you then thinking about the months ahead? I mean, are you brewing new beer right now for the summer or just trying to get through what you have already?
Yeah, nothing really new. Trying to get new beers to the market is a little bit tough right now. We're trying to keep our yeast going week to week. So we've just really cut back on the volume, of course, to try to meet some demand and figure out what the demand is. Don't really know what's in store for the summer. We're hopeful, though. We've got a great week here. Now we've got 80 degrees, it sounds like, for quite a few days. People hopefully be getting together in small groups, socially distanced, and maybe having some barbecues and get-togethers. That'd be great. And hopefully they'll think about Vermont beer and Vermont beverages in general and maybe have a nice cold one.
Matt Nadeau is the owner of Rock Art Brewery in Morrisville. Matt, best of luck to you, and thanks for speaking with me.
Yeah, Henry, thanks for calling and checking in on us and our industry, and we'll see you around for a beer, maybe. Thank you.
And now a quick look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. It's going to be partly to mostly sunny, with highs in the mid to upper 80s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency. If you have suggestions for the show, feedback on what you're hearing, or just want to say hey, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org. We had reporting today from Pete Hirschfeld, Howard Weiss-Tisman, and Bob Kinzel.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.